Happy New Year, Greenhorns. This is Severin. I am the Greenhorn in charge of this radio show today, and happy to be here once again on Thursday, 2 o'clock on Heritage Radio for Greenhorns Radio, radio for young farmers, by young farmers, sponsored as usual by Hearst Family Ranch. We are joined today in the radio world by Casey Knapp. Casey, are you there?
I'm here, Severin. How are you?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for bringing me here.
Yes, Casey and I met each other at the Young Farmers Conference last month at Stone Barns, and Casey is a wonderful young farmer who is lucky enough to have been born on a farm. Casey, tell us, if you would, a little bit about who you are and where you come from.
Sure. Well, right now I'm 20 years old, and I'm a student in Syracuse, New York, and I live on my with my family on a farm in Preble, which is just 20 minutes south of Syracuse. And my
dad...
You
get to go to school and still be on the farm. This is another privilege I hadn't even understood until now.
Right. So, the classes start later in January, and I'll be working on the weekends and then studying during the week. So.
And what are you studying?
Right now, I'm a business major.
Well, that's very wise. Now, Casey, you are you didn't tell us anything about your farm, number one. And number two, would you mind telling us also a little bit about Generation Organic?
Sure. So, about our farm, my dad likes to say that we have a diversified organic dairy farm. And what that means is that we milk about 75 cows, and we sell our milk to Organic Valley, the independent farmer-owned cooperative. And then everything else, all the other products on our farm are connected to and are synergistic with the dairy cows and the dairy operation. So all of the manure from the barn is made into compost, and we produce about 3,000 yards of compost a year. And this compost is sold off of our farm. We also we spread some of it on our pastures for our cows, and then a lot of it is also put on our strawberry field. We have about 5 acres of pick your own strawberries that we do every summer, and. And then in our spare time, we have pastured poultry. We have very Joel Salatin style operation with bottomless cages, and we do about 1,000 birds every year, 1,000 chickens every year, and turkeys for Thanksgiving, and also some pastured beef and pork.
Wow! So you're doing slaughtering on farm. It sounds like from your 1,000 birds that you're doing on farm slaughtering.
Yep, we do. We're able to do all the processing on the farm. Yep.
Yeah, I was learning the other day about the fact that you can do 1,000 birds and 4 chickens is 1 turkey. No, yeah, 4 chickens is 1 turkey.
Right.
But then the next permit in New York State is for 10,000 birds.
Oh.
Do you want to do I think I'm not. I hope I'm right about that. Anyway, it's a good thing to get involved in business now, because you're going to not have to. Have a shock later on.
Right.
So there you are, and you have been privileged to grow up in the context of this Organic Valley community, and now you've become a leader in the next generation of organic leadership, which is called Generation Organic. Will you explain what that program is?
Sure. So Generation Organic is a movement supported by Organic Valley to usher in the next generation of young farmers. Everyone I might be preaching to the choir here when I say that we've lost 55 million farmers since the 30s, and right now the farmers are, for lack of a better term, getting a little bit old. And Organic Valley is very conscious of this, and they have made a really big effort to get young people excited about farming in the future, organic farming in the future. So,
they're doing a really great job of convening conferences and putting together materials that are useful to young farmers and particularly young dairy farmers,
right,
and working in a kind of a similar way to the traditional agricultural youth organizations that are still with us, although not as active as they used to be or could be.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that most recent meeting you guys had.
Right. So, there are 1,400 farmer members in Organic Valley, and last year a lot of time was spent just promoting Generation Organic and the Generation Organic mission throughout the cooperative. And there were three Generation Organic meetings last summer and fall, a West Coast, a Central, and an East Coast meeting. And I was able to go to the Central one, and we hosted the East gathering on our farm. And we had one of the founders of Organic Valley, Jim Wiederberg, speak. We had Heather Darby from University of Vermont speak. And we also had Nana Johnson from the Stone Bard Center for Food and Agriculture. She's also the one who sort of created the Young Farmers Conference. And so we had about 30 young Organic Valley farmers and some of the children of Organic Valley farmers. It was a really exciting day. Everyone got sort of pumped up and excited for Generation Organic and just the future of everything. I think that's one of the coolest parts about Generation Organic is that it lets everyone know that they're not alone. Right around my area and in my school, there's not a lot of interest for farming, there's not a whole lot of awareness, and so I always felt a little bit alone. And I feel really lucky and really fortunate to be doing all these things with Organic Valley and Generation Organic, because it gives me that much more energy and vision to where this thing can go.
Well, and frankly, the statistics would bear that feeling out. We know that the 1997 census said that there was only 3% of America's farmers under the age of 35, and now 2007 census says that it's up to 6%. So
right,
it's a modest gain. You know,
yeah,
it's not a market rate that. But it's definitely a proof that there is, in fact, a movement of young people who are coming to understand the work that needs to be done and the pleasure that there is of doing it. And tell us, if you would, what kind of farmer do you want to be when you grow up?
What kind of farmer do I? This is sort of a loaded question with my family here and also two younger brothers. what kind of farmer do I want to be? You know, right now we're really, really busy on our farm. There are, you know this, and everyone knows this who's farming right now, that the work is never ending. The chores and the projects and the repairs are never ending. And I sort of see myself with a small dairy, maybe milking once a day, and continuing the diversified farm model with chickens and turkeys and pork and beef. So that's, I think that's the direction I would go in. Sort of a smaller operation than maybe what we're doing right now.
Well, I'm totally sold on the milking once a day. That's completely my plan. But maybe we can take this opportunity to share with our listening audience a little bit about the details in animal husbandry. Many, many people think you have to milk early in the morning in order to be a real farmer, but that's not necessarily so. Will you mind giving us a little education about the rituals of lactation?
Sure, I guess.
Like, what do you do on your farm, and then how do some other people do it?
Sure, I guess on our farm we are getting up sort of early. We begin everything at about, between 4:30 and 5. And then we also milk in the afternoon. We start chores around 3. I've heard other farmers talk about when they milk once a day. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm not very fluent on that. I don't know how much I can talk about that.
Okay, that's okay. Wow, 5 in the morning is pretty early.
Yeah.
But I guess if you have 75 cows to get through, that's pretty much what it takes.
Yeah, yeah. And we have help right now, so it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. So here you are, and you're 20 years old, and you're embedded in this fabulous community of other young dairy farmers around the country, and you're studying business.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you think that this, I mean, how long do you think that this is going to take for there to be a major shift, like a seismic shift in the numbers of young people who are entering agriculture? And what do you think that, from your experience in our educational system, that they would benefit from that isn't really accessible today?
Sure. Well, I think that it's going to be, we certainly can't expect to change the world on day one. I think that just like farming, you have to plant the seed, and you have to water it, and you have to wait for it to grow. It's going to be a slow organic process, and I think that's the best way for it to happen. Of course, we want it to be here as soon as possible, but we want everything to be done right. And as far as education goes, as far as higher education, I think it's starting to happen. There are schools all over the place. Cornell is the closest one to my in my area, and they are they're putting a lot of attention into sustainable practices and sustainable farming. And if as soon as everyone sees that those are the first classes to fill up, they're going to start offering more.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I also agree with you about that long-term thinking. So much of the way that we're acculturated these days has to do with quarterly earnings and satisfaction and convenience in a short amount of time. But if you take a minute to study the agricultural system in America, you'll notice that it took us about 30 years to get to this crisis point where right now, especially talking to some of the farm agencies around my area, so many farm families are just falling off the wagon because of the low dairy prices.
And
these are people who've managed to stay in business throughout, cycle after cycle of boom and bust. So to think that it's going to happen tomorrow, when it took 30 years to get to this point, is a bit silly. But at the same time, because we're all young-muscled, young-brained, kind of spunky kids who are thinking about this kind of work, and we have a whole career to invest in making it happen, especially in January, in the brightness of a new year. It's kind of a great thing to think in terms of a 30-year challenge.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go to school next?
Well, I applied to Deep Springs College, and unfortunately didn't get in. Right now I've turned my sights to Cornell University and Hampshire College. I want to continue to study agriculture, and I also have that I'm interested in that small liberal arts education as well. And I haven't quite made my decision yet, but those are the two. That's where I'll be studying, definitely.
They should fight for you. So let's talk a little bit more, if you wouldn't mind, about the difference that you perceive. I mean, the difference that you perceive in what opportunities you have coming from in a family farm situation and already having an infrastructure there to work within, versus somebody who's coming in who doesn't come from a farm family and doesn't have access to a farm. Do you feel like there's similar challenges, or do you feel that there's some disadvantage that I'm not getting to? I mean, you have all these other brothers and sisters and siblings to compete with for the farm, but what other differences are there?
Sure. Well, I think I feel really lucky because I've grown up on this farm, and I've seen how it's changed, and I also see that we have an established business here. We have a working model, And I don't see, for my situation, I don't see any reason to leave, because it's really fun and it's working, and we're making and growing a lot of healthy food for the people of upstate New York, and for, you know, for people who, for young people who want to get into farming. I guess my advice would be, you know, read all the books that you can, and also try and get involved with Organic Valley and Generation Organic, because I've seen a lot of people who have come really from no farming background and no farming knowledge tap into the experience and background of Organic Valley and their passion for cultivating the next generation of young farmers and seeing the excitement grow.
The excitement and the pasture and imagine that you are kind of one of the wonderful anomalies in a rural narrative in this country, which is really one that talks a lot about the fact, and it's almost an accepted truth at this point in many places, that young people are just inevitably going to leave the countryside and go to where the excitement is. And the institutions of those farms are not durable, and they are not keeping the energy alive and the business alive, and the large animal vets and the dairy equipment merchants, etc. So the only thing that we have to work on for, in your case, is bringing some of that rock and roll music that does happen in the cities at this point
exactly.
a little bit closer to the cows. So that's
exactly.
a project I'm going to work on, and maybe you will get involved
yes.
too. I
yes.
think that's a major area of interest for perhaps Organic Valley to focus also their attention.
Mm-hmm.
Bring some more rock and roll out to the cows.
Oh, definitely. Well, I think that the mindset is changing, and the paradigm is changing, and we no longer want to be doctors and lawyers. We want things to slow down a little bit, and we want to focus on our family and focus on our food, and the best way to do that is to start up your own farm.
That's the best way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Casey, I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on the
Absolutely.
Show today. And would you mind giving a little bit of a summary of your favorite books and resources online that you think other people might want to tune into, apart from the Gen O?
Sure. Yeah, I've grown up with Acres USA, which is a monthly periodical. It was first founded by Charles Walters, who has also written a lot of books. He passed away last year, but